This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Bomb hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 168. I'm your host, John Senecal, and co-hosting this week again, Matt Sorois, our producer extraordinaire. Brian is on the road. I think he's playing golf today.
Yeah, hard out.
Hard out. Tea time. Tea time, hard out. But
hard out
Brian's
time.
Doing some charity stuff today, so that there's nothing wrong with that, right?
No, that's good. Charity's always good.
It's always a good thing. But what's also a good thing is the Yankees took 3 out of 4 over the four-game series from the Red Sox, and there's a lot to talk about. That's why we're actually doing the show today, because we did the show going into the series, and we figured, like, a lot happened in this series. You know,
yeah.
There was 4 games, which is interesting because a lot of times you don't play 4 games. Usually it's a 3-game set, but 4 games late in the season, which meant a lot for both teams. But boy, there was some action in this series. But we're going to go game by game. We're going to talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about a voice of the Red Sox abruptly kind of just saying he's done. He's retiring. Joe Castiglione will be retiring at the end of the season. It was announced on Sunday at the final game of the series. So we will talk about that. But to start it off, good weekend, Matt.
It was good. Yeah, not bad. I worked on Saturday, a nice 25th anniversary party up at the Glastonbury Boathouse, DJ'd that. So, but yeah, busy. But yeah, I did get to watch some baseball, some football, and kind of hang out with the family too. So
25th anniversary. Today's my 24th wedding anniversary.
Saw that.
So happy anniversary to my wife, Colleen. But let's talk about the importance of she's a Yankees fan too, and she lets me watch a lot of Yankees. She kind of loses me during the season, so I watch a lot of baseball. But so the Yankees start their series Thursday against the Red Sox, and probably the closest game, kind of like the more ho-hum game, but the Yankees came out on top with a win by Soto gets a walk-off for us. What were your thoughts about that game? I mean, it's like that's not the game to talk about, but it got us on the roll.
And Clark Schmidt pitched that.
Was it Cortez or Schmidt?
Yeah, you're right. Nestor Cortez.
It was Cortez, Schmidt, then Cole, yeah, which was the big game, and then Rodon on Sunday. So Cortez pitched fine.
Yeah. He pitched well.
Which means Stroman's the odd man out now in the rotation,
right,
by
yeah,
the way.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had that, like, that weird game where Cortez came out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really feeling that and too happy about it. So it was good to see him have a good start on that Thursday. But yeah, like you said, it was kind of like not a throwaway game because it was a big opening win, too.
Set the tone.
Especially in a walk-off fashion, but yeah, it kind of just seemed like, okay, yeah, you know, this is...
An interesting part about that game is Clay Holmes got the win in that game.
Yeah.
Our buddy Clay Holmes made an appearance in the 7th inning, I believe, or 8th inning, late in the game, but he wasn't in the closing role, but he came in and mopped it up and got the win. He was in the 9th inning. It was in a tie game, so he got the win. We'll go on to Friday. Now, Friday, in my opinion, is the most exciting game, probably one of the most exciting games for the Yankees all season. Now, for two reasons, they were down... and Judge hits a huge grand slam to put him ahead late in the 7th inning, puts him up 5-4, and Judge hadn't hit a home run in 16 games. So,
yeah, which is unheard of.
Unheard of. It's the longest he's done all season, probably one of the longest of his career, probably, but definitely the longest of this season, which he was chasing his own record up until, you know, maybe 15 games ago,
yeah.
And now he's definitely not going to do it. But Judge hits a huge grand slam in this game, and it's what we had a text string going. What was my text to you guys before that at bat. I think I said Cora should walk him, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, with the
bases loaded. Yep. I said Cora should walk him, and it's one of those things. I had a feeling. I just kind of had a feeling because Judge has been swinging the bat a little bit better lately.
He had to hit the ball really hard, even like outs.
He was getting the ball more in the air.
He was getting close.
He was getting close. And the other interesting thing was before the series on the Yankees pregame show, Meredith Marakovic, who does the YES Network locker room commentary, basically, and on the field stuff, interviewed Aaron Boone about Aaron Judge's struggles, you know, how he's been slumping and not hitting. And Aaron Boone, you know, this is the typical stuff, but he also gave a little smirk at the end where he said he's been hitting the ball better, having better at bats, and he's not far off. He's close. And he gave kind of a smirk. And I said to myself, you know, you don't hear that too often from Aaron Boone. He did it in the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the season when Judge was really struggling. But he also said that. So Judge breaks out. Crazy game. I mean, to me, it's a turning point, basically. The Yankees could have rolled. They could have. That's something the Yankees build on. Weaver comes in, 5 Ks, 2-6 out save, has been amazing. But we go into Saturday. What happens Saturday? Saturday is just, you come off a Friday night with an awesome win.
With that much excitement, with that, like, it felt like a playoff baseball game also in the Bronx on Friday night, too. It just seemed that way watching it. And
the stadium was crazy.
Yeah, it was buzzing.
Buzzing.
It was definitely buzzing. Like, you could tell it's getting towards October.
And every Yankee fan is thinking, this is crazy. We're back. We're back, baby. Yeah. Judge is back. Yeah. We're back. Nobody's going to stop us. And then comes Saturday. Gerrit Cole's on the mound. And what does Gerrit Cole do?
He does what he does every single time against the Boston Red Sox. He can't get it done against it's just one of those teams. It's his bugaboo, it seems.
But the weird thing here is the guy is throwing a no-hitter in the fourth inning. They're up 1-0. They just scored in the bottom of the third inning to take a one-run lead. And Rafael Devers leads off the fourth inning, and Gerrit Cole intentionally walks him. Throws his fingers up, 4 pitches.
Sweeps him over to first.
Sweeps him over to first. Now, the worst thing that could possibly happen in that situation is he would hit a home run and the game would be tied.
Yeah.
That wasn't the worst thing that happened in that situation.
It wasn't. Yeah, it's pretty incredible how it kind of snowballed. And then he ended up coming up later in the game with the bases loaded. And he can't walk him, obviously, with the bases loaded. And had to pitch to him, and he hit it like a 2 RBI single or a double.
2 RBI single. Now this is Gerrit Cole. Obviously, Rafael Devers owns Gerrit Cole. He's been in his head. There was a Latin broadcast going on earlier in the game. And they were earlier in the series. They were talking and they interviewed Gerrit Cole. And right away he said, Rafael Devers. They said, who's your hardest Latin player to get out for you? And right away he said, Rafael Devers. Now the narrative was there. The media had the narrative going. The stats were there. But what also is there is a banged up Rafael Devers, who's batting like 170-something over his last 20 games.
Just waiting for the season to be over.
Waiting for the season to be over. Can't wait for it to end. He's all banged up. One extra base hit, one home run in the last 20 games. And you give him a base. Yeah, and you're winning the game. You're not talking about Aaron Judge, who hasn't hit a home run in 16 games, who is perfectly healthy. You're talking about a player who's, I mean, literally looks lost at the plate most of the times, can't catch up on anything inside, and you're just going to concede first base to him.
I mean, Michael Kay was every Yankee fan at that moment because he was like, you're going to walk him? He's like, walking him? Like, why? And I don't know. I don't know why he would do
that.
Well,
they asked him both after the game, right? And then Cole said it was the wrong decision to make, but he had bought into the narrative, basically bought into what the front office was saying, that they had talked about if he came up in the situation and blah, 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 everything we talked about. But here's my point. What you don't do in that situation, if you are going to walk him, you don't just give him the damn base.
Right.
Bust him inside.
Yeah.
Buzz him with a fastball. Jam him inside.
Have him chase something even.
Set him up for your next time he comes up. Yeah. That he's not going to be like, oh, this guy's, I own this guy. No, you just buzzed him 3 times inside and then you let him on base. If you're going to walk him, throw the ball.
Yeah.
Don't, I mean, you are a 300 and something million dollar pitcher coming off the Cy Young Award.
To be the ace.
You are supposed to be the ace. And I'm sorry. Like,
it looked weak.
Weak.
It looked real weak.
It looked so bush league. And Gerrit Cole is getting crushed for this. And he has to own it, because in the grand scheme of things, he's the one that let him on.
Yeah.
He could have challenged him. He could have said no. He could have been in that situation, in any situation, he should have been the competitor instead of the rollover.
I definitely agree with you. Yeah, it's weird to see. Definitely weird to see. And like I said, it snowballed into a 7-1 loss.
An embarrassing 7-1 loss. I mean, it's just, it's an embarrassing loss because something else big happens in this game, which has a bunch of different angles, but Aaron Judge comes up, and now in that game, there was three batters hit, I believe, in that game overall for the Red Sox. Now, they weren't batters that was like really bad hits. It was close inside stuff, you know, but Judge comes up, and Brian Bello clearly throws at him. I mean, if anybody knows baseball, if you get thrown behind you with a pitcher who's been having great control the whole game, you're giving up one run.
The Judge isn't on top of the plate.
And he's not on top of the plate, and he misses him. Misses him. And everybody knows he was throwing at him. And then the next pitch is, I think it was away. And then the next pitch is up and in, tries to hit him again and misses him. And what I feel is interesting about this whole thing is how Cora came right out and said, we were trying to hit Judge. What is your take on that? For one, why do you come out and say that? Are you trying to fire up your team? Are you just an idiot? I mean, you're opening yourself up for suspension. Right.
Yeah,
you're opening yourself up for disciplinary action.
Yeah, if you're playing simple, saying it was intentional, and then you're trying to hurt the guy. I mean, no matter where you throw it, it's going to hurt. A 95 mile an hour fastball, it's going to hurt. You can hit a guy on the ass or on the head, and it's going to hurt. Like, you're trying to injure him.
I scratch my head so many different ways on this because, you know, that is your chance to do it. That's your lead. Yeah. You're most likely, the way your season is going, you're not going to get that chance again against the Yankees, even though there's another game tomorrow. So you have to go for that opportunity. But like Aaron Judge says, you missed. Like, you blew it. You blew the opportunity. And for Yankee fans, you woke up a sleeping dog. Like, you woke him up.
Yep.
You pissed him off. And the next game, he's going to go 450 feet dead center field against you. But that being said, Alex Cora comes out and says that you hit him. We tried to hit the guy on purpose. It makes no sense to me. You know, you got a guy who has a history of issues, right? He has a cheating scandal. He's trying years. It will never sweep under the rug, especially for Yankee fans. It will never be swept under the rug. And sports writers will never forget it. And now he's just, it's like daring, I just threw at him, whatever. Whatever. I mean, Major League Baseball needs to take notice of this. I'm sorry. I'm not just saying it as a Yankees fan.
Talked about it last time, too. It's definitely a problem. And Judge had a good response. You know, he was like, kind of expected it. And that's how, you know, MLB has been policing this issue for years and years, for over 100 years, he said. So he took it in stride, but then he also said, he's like, if you're going to do it, don't miss.
He did what Judge would do, right? Like, Aaron Judge is not going to charge the mound. He's just not that person. Like, you need to send him way over the edge.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be at his head, totally deliberate, in a way pressure situation, something that's been boiling for a while. Aaron Judge is too smart. He's too good. He's too polished to fall for that crap. He's just not going to do it. And I always say he's the big Jeter. That's what he is. You know, not as boring as Jeter. But
that is true. The
big Jeter. But that's why he's the captain. Like, that's why he's the captain.
And they took
They took a shot at him and they missed. All right. So it backfired on Boston. They come out on Sunday, they lose 5-2. You know, Judge hits the home run. He's back. He's rolling. Rondon wins his 15th game, which is his career high, which he's been eluded for like the last three starts.
Right.
But overall, I feel like the Yankees, you know, they come out great. They come out great out of this series. You put some space. You kind of blew it on Saturday, obviously, by not winning that game. And that's that. I'm putting that all on Garrett Cole. That whole game goes on Cole's shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he doesn't wussy out there, it's a whole different outcome.
Yep.
But you got three game space on Baltimore. And, you know, surprisingly for Red Sox fans, you guys only lost one game over the thing because Minnesota's been playing like crap.
Right. Awful.
Awful. So you just lost one game, and then you probably could have came out even better, but Minnesota came back and won yet on Sunday. So
Seattle too, still hanging around there.
So let's talk about that. But well, the irony here now is great because Boston needs New York to win.
Yeah.
They need New York to go into Seattle and sweep them, right? And they also need Kansas City to beat Detroit.
Yeah.
Because KC and Detroit are going to square off in a series, and that's a huge series with total implications. But Boston needs the Yankees to win. They just do. And hopefully for Boston fans, if they can, Yankees can win and Boston can win, they can carry that into their series against Minnesota next weekend, and maybe they can do something. But if I'm a betting man, Boston's done. They're done.
Yeah, I would say,
too many variables.
I think this weekend was the proverbial nail in the coffin for Boston. And, you know, as a Yankee fan, whatever, screw them. But, like, as a baseball fan, it's kind of better when the Red Sox are in the playoffs.
Yeah. But I don't want to lose to the Red Sox in the playoffs. I never want to lose to the Red Sox, especially in the playoffs.
Never, yeah.
Especially in the playoffs. But they do, listen, they have their work cut out for them. Cleveland will be playing Minnesota for four games, so that can go all sorts of different directions. Yeah. And, you know, and so there is hope. There is definitely hope for Boston. The Yankees' magic number, I believe, for a wild card is down to like two games or two wins. But I still believe we are not safe. When I say we, the Yankees are not safe until you're going to be playing Baltimore with a five-game lead in that series next week.
Yeah.
If you're not going into that series. And I say five games, and it's only a three-game series. I say five games because you still got games after that to be played against Pittsburgh. And I'm not going to concede that we're going to just roll through Pittsburgh either.
Yeah, no.
So the Yankees definitely, obviously, got to keep winning. They have tough competition with Seattle and Oakland. But Boston needs some miracles. They need some miracles. They definitely do. But only time will tell. Only time will tell. Well, time's coming to an end for one Red Sox great. I got, you know, Hall of Famer, Frick Award winner, Joe Castiglione. And he's a Connecticut native.
Yeah, Hamden, Connecticut. And
I'm sure you guys talked about this morning on
TIC.
Yeah,
we did. Yeah. And I mean, to stay in a job for over 40 years anywhere is insane. To do what he's done. You know, hat goes off to him because he's been one of the best and one of the constants.
Yeah, it's interesting that I don't ever listen to the radio broadcast for the Red Sox. I mean, I have absolutely zero reason to, unless I'm like driving down in that area and I can't pick up the Yankees broadcast. But I did think it was interesting because Friday night I was working and I was coming back from work, so I was listening to the radio, and I was listening to the Fan, and they were doing a booth swap with WEI, EEI. And Castiglione and Susan Wallman, and they were bouncing back and forth in the booth through the third through the sixth inning, I believe. And I thought that was interesting because I've seen that before, but usually it's quick. It's like, you know, it's like the guys that are mic'd in the field. It's like you get them for an inning and they're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And this went on for three innings where, you know, the tandem color commentators each got around with each other. And I thought that was pretty cool. But then I hear the announcement on the air on Sunday live. Castiglione says that this is his final season. The 29th of September will be his final game. And I'm like, oh, it's all starting to make sense now.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, here's a guy who first thing he says when he comes into the booth goes, just so you know, I'm a diehard Yankees fan and I'm a lifelong Yankees fan because he grew up in Hamden. He was going to Yankee games. And I thought right out of the gates, I was like, Jesus, this guy's like, I'm sure people know this, but he's going to piss a lot of people off here. Right. And now I'm thinking, oh, I get it. He's telling everyone he's retiring in 2 days. So it's all right. Yeah. You know, he's cool. But I thought that was a very cool thing for both booths to do. And obviously now there was a reason behind that he got some extra time on air and got to say his piece and got to talk Yankees, really. I think that's kind of what he really wanted
to do. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's probably more free to do that on the Fan, but it's good, too, that they're both Odyssey networks, so they can bounce back and forth with each other as well. But, I mean, yeah, Joe Castiglione is a legend, as is, you know, John Sterling.
Who'll be back.
Yeah, who will be back for the playoffs, which is nice. But, yeah, I mean, those two guys, I mean, it just seems like we're – not losing because they're not going away forever, obviously, but like...
Yeah. Well, you think to yourself if you... I mean, I don't know enough names of radio guys because it's just such a lost art, right, in this day and age across the country. But I'm sure there's some guys that have, you know, they're in their 30 years marks with teams and stuff. But like you said, to have any... If you do anything and you're in one... roll with something for that long of a time, and there's the travel involved and all that, and that's a huge sacrifice. I mean, anybody that knows anything about people that are in professional sports, be it the front office, be it on the field, be it in the booth, you are sacrificing a ton of time with your family. So I hope that his, you know, I believe he's 77 years old. So I hope he has another good 20 years ahead of him at least, and he has a lot of great time with his family, and I'm sure he will be at Yankee Stadium as a fan watching some games coming forward.
A lot of bleachers, Joe.
Yeah. But going forward, we're going to see how the Yankees do next week. Both teams are off on Monday, and they will pick up their series, Boston against Tampa Bay, and that's home or away, I don't know.
That's in Tampa,
In Tampa, and Tampa's always a thorn, always a thorn.
Especially this late in the season when they have nothing to play for.
And Kevin Cash hates everybody.
Yeah.
So he doesn't. He wants to beat everybody. And the Yankees go into Seattle, and Seattle is playing hot. They are playing really well.
Oakland's even playing really well lately.
Oakland has quietly been playing very well since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
They really have. They just were out of it at the All-Star break. You know, not as bad as the White Sox,
halfway to Vegas.
So yeah, halfway to via Sacramento, right?
Yeah.
Via some sandlot field in Sacramento that they don't even know, and they'll be playing at the Little League World Series field before you know it. Yeah. So. But that's it for this week. This has been episode 168 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.